You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
We're finally doing it. It's Friday night. Not going to lie, I was kind of taking the day off and I totally forgot about the whole have to record to the podcast. I'm like doing work for the podcast and almost forgot about it. We're moving to mornings next week with the, doesn't look like we're going to have video ready to go yet. We're moving to mornings next week on the Locked On Wolverines podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it's your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Hull, publisher of Wolverines Wire, through USA Today Sports Media Group. And we've got a bunch of stuff to cover. You know what? Fridays, I always get confused because I go on Jamie Morris's show more often than not on the M Zone. And I forget that that's not the podcast. So that's what ends up happening. I was shutting things down. I was working on some graphics packages for all these new shows coming up on Wolverine's Wire. And then I just all of a sudden I was like, wait. Podcast. Gotta do the podcast. So here we are. We're doing it. Sorry for the delay. But again, five in a week as we've been doing. Like I said, your team every day. We are doing that fundamentally. That is the law of the land and we're sticking with it. No more just kind of doing things all willy-nilly like I had been. But we're going to get to some of this press conference stuff that happened yesterday. I thought there was a lot of interesting things that came from it. You had the four team captains. You had George Hilo and Jay Harbaugh. I think Jay is always really good, but considering we just don't know a lot about the tight ends right now as far as who's going to step up and in, and you know that Michigan just graduated Nick Eubanks and it was he was the holdover. I mean, he's a guy that's been around since 2016, and it's Eric Ault's show. It's Luke Schoonmaker. Sounds like maybe he's vying for the starting role. Maybe he's going to be that guy. I don't know. But nonetheless, I think that there's lots of like there. But I think George Hilo was incredible. I thought he was incredibly sharp. He said some things that I thought were just, I mean, he gave you a lot of, he gave you a lot of info. And he got into the technical side of things. And like I had said on, I had said this on Jamie Morris's show. Hey, like, pay attention to George Hilo, right? Because, like, what he, the stuff that he, like, was saying was, like, technical, you know? I said this on Twitter as well. Like, if you like the technical side of football, you'll love George Hilo. I just feel like what he did was able to come in and just actually tell you a lot of things that, I mean, some of it goes over my head because I didn't play football, like I'm sure a lot of the listeners here, and I'm sure there's plenty of you who did play some level of football, whether it be high school, college, but nonetheless, I certainly didn't. And he started getting into some things where I was like, whoa, this is beyond my pay grade. But I asked him, this wasn't one of them, of course. I asked him because he talked about Mike Barrett. Obviously, the big news coming out of that was Nakai Hill-Green winning the starting Will linebacker job. We'll get into that momentarily, but he got into Mike Barrett and was saying, like, you know, we want to try to honor the guys who have earned the right to be on the field, to get them on the field one way or another. And he said this after he had said that Nakai Hill-Green had won the Will starting job, so it's evident that they're going to try to find ways to get Mike Barrett on the field. So I asked him, are you and the coaching staff, how do you approach this? Is it married to scheme? We want to get guys to come in and fit the scheme. We want to play guys that fit the scheme. Or we want to have players who are just talented and we'll find a way to make them work. And it took a while to get there, but he basically said, hey, we want to get the talent. And we're going to get the talent on the field any way we can. And I think that is such a welcome departure from, you know, I think Don Brown is a great defensive coordinator. He certainly, what he was able to do in Ann Arbor worked for a very long time, but eventually it didn't. So we talked about that quite a bit on the show, about why, the predictability and play calling and all of that type of stuff. But I think the thing that makes this defense interesting is the unpredictability, not only in the way that they're going to be calling plays, but potentially the personnel packages they put out there. Because he talked about, you know, it, we go to nickel or we go to dime, you know, and all of these different things. We're going to, like, or we see certain looks, we're going to be trying to get guys out there that we know are going to be our best blitzers or our best run stoppers or our best guys in pass coverage, depending on the situation, about the personnel they see. Obviously, they said, you know, they have their big guys, we want our big guys, that type of thing. Not saying Don Brown didn't do that, but it just, this feels a lot more flexible, a lot more fluid. Like, Don Brown, I feel, was recruiting to his scheme, but guys didn't always fit the scheme. It seemed like the recruiting to scheme more often than not was defensive end and Viper, because, I mean, at times last year, obviously, the whole, as Don Brown would say, guys being lost in the soup, when he started trying to change up the scheme, that's what we saw. It's a reason why I think this defense is going to be a lot better, because they're learning the concepts and mastering the concepts that they're going to need throughout the entire season right now. Chances are they're not going to have to change things up. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see how this all ends up working for the Michigan defense. I was really impressed by George Hilo and the things that he had to say. I think that he was quite incredible. All right, so let's continue talking about this. We've still got plenty of time here, but before we do, let's talk a little bit about Built Bar. Y'all know how much I love Built Bar. If you don't know what Built Bar is, it's a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. I have bought dozens of boxes of my own volition with my own money. I have a box of peanut butter brownie upstairs. After I get done with this podcast, I'm going to have one. If you don't know about it, it is a delicious, delicious, delicious protein bar. High protein, low calorie, low carb. I almost said it very backwards. High calorie. No, not high calorie. They've got so many delicious flavors. Like I said, I like peanut butter brownie. I love coconut almond. They have special flavors that come out all the time. Do like I do. Go to built.com. Put in promo code LOCKED15. Get 15% off of that next order. Built.com. LOCKED15. All right. Well, I'm really hoping that we can get this video thing going here sooner than later. I'm just kind of waiting, playing the waiting game. We will start with our very special, amazing guest next week. I can't tell you who it is yet. We're going to let that be a reveal that happens day of. But I'm excited for it. Maybe I'll tell you the day before. We'll see. But I think it's someone everyone's going to be excited about. But it's going to be really cool. If you haven't checked out my YouTube page, youtube.com/Isaiah Hole, make sure you spell my name right, otherwise you won't get to it. I've got a lot of stuff starting to come up there. Recap, I didn't get the coaches yet. I'm going to do that tomorrow, but I did do the players. I got them up pretty quickly. Normally we're not going to have two assistants for 30 minutes and four players. You know, that's generally not what we're going to have. Maybe in the post game. But it's trying to pare that down to just 5 minutes. Yesterday, even just with the four players, that was a challenge, but managed to. But we had the four captains. We'll get back into the coaching stuff, and we'll talk to Kai Hill Green and stuff like that here at the end. But I want to touch on the captains, because Michigan had four captains. The reason I brought up the YouTube channel was to also mentioned, like, I put up an instant reaction. I just went on Wolverine's Wire and on the YouTube page about the four captains. And I think that it's solid, right? I had a regular podcast asker for the mailbag, interrogator, I don't know what to call them, but they had asked, like, should there be any concern that J.J. McCarthy didn't Cade McNamara. Wow, my mind is not working. I'm sorry. But that Cade McNamara wasn't named a captain. I mean, Michigan State, you know, we made a big deal out of Connor Cook. But no, Connor Cook was a senior. That's a little bit different. This time, all four captains are seniors, at least four-year seniors. None of them are redshirt juniors. They're all seniors. Ronnie Bell and Aiden Hutchinson been around for 4 years. You've got your five-year guy in Josh Ross, and you've got your six-year guy in Andrew Vistardis. Voted on by their teammates, I think it is just excellent that that's how they see things playing out. Like, just listen, you can still be a leader, and obviously JJ is, because when talking to these captains, some of them were talking about JJ's leadership, right? They're supposed to be the ones who are leaders, but JJ, keep on saying JJ, Cade, not JJ McCarthy on the mind, apparently. Cade McNamara, they're talking about how he's a leader. So I think that's fine. I think the one thing that I said in my instant reaction, the thing that the Peter Griffin, you know what grinds my gears, you know, type thing, was that I saw complaints online of people saying offense is in trouble if Andrew Vistardis is named a captain. Those things don't correlate at all. Right? Like, I mean, he's probably a starter. He started 4 of the 6 games last year as it was. He's a guy who earned his spot. Like, he had to work extra hard to be able to become a team captain, right? Not even to become a team captain, to get a scholarship, former walk-on. And like I said in the instant reaction, have we forgotten the Glasgows? I feel like sometimes we have. Because one of the things is people are always wanting bigger and better and whatever, and he's not taking a spot away from a better player. He earned the spot that he got, right? Just like Jordan Kovacs, you know what I mean? I don't remember what safeties were around at the time when he ended up earning that spot, but still, like, if Greg Crippen, who is a 4-star from IMG Academy, is better than Andrew Vistardis, he's going to play. If it's Zach Zinter, the 4-star from Massachusetts, if they feel he's a better center than Vistardis and want to move him inside and even further and have Andrew Stuber be the right guard and put Trente Jones out at right tackle, then that's what they'll do. I think, yeah, there have been some times where guys were getting playing time that maybe, actually, I can't really recall often many times where it's like, oh, that guy's getting playing time because it was a political thing. I can't recall that. They want to win games. The coaches want to win games. They're not just like, I just like that guy. I can recall one player that was playing that maybe shouldn't have, and I'm not going to name names. But they're trying to they're trying to win. And Vistardis being named a captain has nothing to do necessarily even with the idea of what the state of the offense is. Plus, I mean, we've thought he was going to be a starter forever. I know some people were buying into the idea of maybe it's going to be Zinter as the center, and we talked about that lineup, that formation, but you know what? If it isn't, it's fine. Vistardis had good moments, had bad moments last year. But it was his first real playing time outside of the Ohio State game in 2019. So, give a guy a little leash. I don't understand why the knocking walk-ons is a thing. Actually, I do know why, and this is why I mentioned an instant reaction. It's because a lot of you out there feel if you're not matching Ohio State, then you're not going to have a chance. But it doesn't always work that way. Just like we've seen 5-stars come through Ann Arbor, we've seen 5-stars go through Columbus, we've seen 5-stars go through South Bend or Alabama and not amount to much. And sometimes those 3-star, 4-star type guys end up being really good. I brought up the example of Khalil Mack. He's a guy who played for Buffalo. I'd have to look up and see exactly what his recruiting ranking was, but I can't imagine he was blowing everybody away if he played at Buffalo. You know? So, I think that sometimes you just have to have some patience and understand not everyone is going to be anyone who's going to be a standout. Not everyone's going to be like this 4-star, 5-star type guy. Kwity Paye, when he was committing to Michigan, everyone was upset. Khalil Mack was a 2-star, by the way, from Fort Pierce, Florida, Westwood. But not everyone that is for every Donovan Peoples-Jones, can we not admit that Ronnie Bell has had a better Michigan career than Donovan Peoples-Jones? Yet Peoples-Jones probably has a much higher ceiling. But when it comes to production, Ronnie Bell has been solid. But I'm sure there's still a lot of you out there that don't like Ronnie Bell because he was a 3-star. Some 3-stars will earn the respect of people or unheralded type guys. Like the Glasgows, everyone loved the Glasgows, except for Jordan. People did not like Jordan for whatever reason. But outside of him, everyone loved Ryan. Everyone loved Graham. Ronnie Bell, I think people have come around on for the most part. But I feel like it's the low 4-star that gets people to like them, right? Devin Bush. I don't think he was a top 24/7 guy. I'd have to double check. But I feel like, yeah, everyone wanted him. But he wasn't, it was like, oh, think about what this guy can do. Think about his lineage. Yeah, he was 312th according to the 24/7 Sports Composite. If Michigan got a guy now, he was a 3-star according to 24/7 Sports on its own. If Michigan gets a linebacker that's a 3-star according to 24/7 Sports and a 4-star outside of the top 24/7 in the composite, it's, you know what the saying's going to be, is not going to be able to beat Ohio State with this guy. Yet Devin Bush was probably, at least in my opinion, the best linebacker Michigan's ever had. I understand there's a lot of really good linebackers. I'm staying with my opinion there. I just think, and I wonder if Nakai Hill-Green is going to have that type of, if people are going to love, you know, hate him just out of the gates just because he's out there, because he was a 3-star. Nakai Hill-Green was rated 393rd overall as a 3-star in the 24/7 Sports Composite. Not terribly different than Devin Bush. It's only 81 spots lower. The number, he's a 4-star according to 24/7 Sports Proprietary, though. So, kind of the same, just reverse. 24/7 Sports was high on him, but the rest of the recruiting services, not so much. But, like Devin Bush, played at a powerhouse high school. So, I think the fact that he's a guy that we've heard rave reviews about forever. I mean, dude looks like a linebacker. He looks built. He's big. He's tall. He's ready to go. I think it's interesting news that he ended up winning that starting linebacker job. But if people, I have not seen if people have not been happy with that news or not. But if they aren't, you know, it's because they had that higher faith in Michael Barrett, who himself was a 3-star quarterback. It seems like, and I've said this before, Michigan has better luck developing 3-stars and low 4-stars than they do the 4-stars and the 5-stars. But the good news is, like George Hilo was talking about, getting the best out of your talent, letting your talent go out there and run wild, essentially within the confines of what they want, of course. Not just, you don't want just guys to go out there and just go crazy for the sake of going crazy, but you know what I'm saying. All right. It's that time of year again, and all eyes are now turning to football as teams are back on the gridiron to start the football season. As always, betonline.ag is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. Get all the updated odds, props, and contests, including the $500,000 NFL Mega Contest and the $200,000 NFL Survivor Contest. Open now at BetOnline. Head over to betonline.ag. Sign up today. Use the promo code LOCKEDON to receive that 100% welcome bonus. Be sure to take advantage of their opening day super promo equals make a bet on the Thursday, September 9th season opener between the Super Bowl champion fighting Tom Brady's and the Dallas Cowboys, which has loads of Wolverines there too. And if you lose, your wager will be refunded up to $25. BetOnline.ag is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your favorite sports, from football, basketball, boxing, right to horse racing. Don't wait and take advantage of all the great offers available for the 2021 season. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. All right, so we talked about Nakahil Green. We talked about George Hilo. We talked about Andrew Vistardis, the captaincy. I like the four captains. Again, I don't know who else you'd pick, because of the guys who weren't red shirts coming out of 2018, Jake Moody, I think, is the only other one. Outside of that, not a lot of seniors. I'm trying to think of other seniors. I guess the Greens, but I think they got the right four. I'm curious to see how some of the other upperclassmen look like. I'm curious to see what Luke Schoonmaker looks like, considering he seems to be the talk of the tight ends. And from what little you're able to see from what Michigan puts out there, he's the one that I'm seeing out there making plays in the videos they share on social media. So, hope, you know, maybe he's the guy. I don't know. Obviously, you're going to see more than him anyway, whether it's him and Eric All. Jay Harbaugh did say they're going to go with five tight ends. So my question is, who are the five? We know that those two are. You have to assume Joel Honigford, who has been around since 2017, former offensive lineman, just changed positions, dropped 48 pounds, looks built. Supposedly he can run, he can catch, used to play tight end at one point in time in his football career. He, I would assume, is going to play. So then you got two more. Matthew Hibner, they keep on saying that he's had an amazing camp. So is it Louis Hansen or is it Carter Selzer, the walk-on? Carter Selzer's a size mismatch for anyone. He's giant as far as height is concerned. And I've always been excited about him. So it would be cool to see him get that chance while maybe Louis Hansen is getting acclimated. And we've heard good things about Carter Selzer throughout the offseason as well. I just think it's good that Jay is back coaching tight ends, because we know that he's very adept at that position. And I feel like you want a more fiery guy like Mike Hart coaching the running backs. And you want, maybe you can be a little bit more laid back with the either offensive line or the tight ends. Right? Because I feel like those two position groups are maybe a little bit more cerebral. I mean, not to say that there isn't cerebral play there, but I think that at the other positions, but I think that tight end, you can afford to have a little bit more of a laid back approach and have it still work wonders. I mean, Jake Butt won the Mackey Award on Jay Harbaugh's watch. So excited to see what comes of that, what comes from that position group. I don't really have a lot coming from otherwise that Jay Harbaugh had to say. I have to go back and rewatch it, to be honest. But it's, I don't know. I'm still feeling pretty good about where things are headed. I know not everyone is. I talked to a colleague, like I think I said the other day, who predicting 7-5. Most of us, according to Scott Bell's thing, is most of us are predicting 8-4. I think that's fair. I think that they'll beat Washington and then lose the three other games, or at least two games that they're supposed to lose. I think they'll win one of the ones they're not supposed to win, and I think they'll lose two games that they're not really supposed to lose. I have them losing to Maryland. I don't know who the other one is. I think I picked Indiana as well. because they're a bunch of experience. I don't remember. I got to keep these things straight, but I'm doing a terrible job of it. Anyway, that's the Friday night edition. We'll be back Monday. We'll start having these in the mornings because it's the only time that I'm going to be able to actually crank these out. And before too long, they'll be on video. Hopefully sooner than later. Maybe it'll be on Monday, but I haven't gotten notification that they're ready to launch the video. So we're ready. Anyway, thank you for listening. We'll talk to you again next week. Game week. Peace.